All right.
Well,
yes.
why the chipper attitude?
The Roger Berry Memorial Aggie Dome once again.
Well, no, it's not memorial because Roger's not dead.
Roger's alive.
That's right. Still alive.
But,
that's right.
But the
only thing that's memorial of people living is the Texas Stadium there. Yeah, Darrell K. Royal Stadium.
Anyway, it's fairly efficient here in that it's keeping Brazos County from getting any of that pesky rain. You know, we wouldn't want any of that pesky rain out there. Most of it's out toward Brownwood and northwest of Austin, a little bit between here and Waco, up near Marlin. That's about all right now. And, again, it's tracking in this direction. I'm just not sure we're going to get there or not.
Ooh.
Yeah, really. So we'll see. So now, relief pitcher Ramon Ramirez strained his hamstring while sprinting in from the bullpen on Friday after John Santana? What's the guy's name?
Johan Santana.
Pitched the no-hitter.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
He injured himself on the way to the celebration.
Right. That's right.
That'd be my luck.
And he wasn't even hit. I mean, he was just running and the hammy tightened up on him.
So that brought up the discussions in the Wall Street Journal earlier this week. Celebration injuries. They don't happen frequently, but they happen more often than the average fan realizes. Jake Peavy broke his ribs celebrating after the Padres clinched the National League West in 05 and missed the playoffs. Very nice. And then I like this one. Denny Hocking broke his nose after hitting a walk-off home run when his teammates pounded his head and smacked the bill of his helmet down onto his face, and it broke his nose.
What is that about?
Which means he was probably bleeding everywhere.
Oh. Then there's Marlins outfielder Chris Culhane, who tore his meniscus while attempting to smash his teammate with a shaving cream pie. See? Now, those injuries are insignificant when it's compared to Kendrys Morales, is that right? Is he the designated hitter for the Angels in 2010?
Sure he is.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
I've got his card.
Okay.
He tried to jump onto home plate to celebrate a dramatic walk-off grand slam. He landed unnaturally and fractured his leg and missed the next two seasons. Oh, man. You got to hate that. So they asked the question, so what are we supposed to do? Not celebrate? When you get excited, you don't think about that kind of stuff, man.
No,
says Alan Craig from the St. Louis Cardinals. Well, yeah, you do, because after all, it's your body. That's what you're making money with. Why are you jumping on one another? Why are you bouncing up and down at home plate? Wow, it's kind of interesting. So we'll see. So, word to the wise there in College Station: if you win the state championship, dogpile carefully.
Well, they did a fine job of dogpiling the other night in Mumford.
Yeah,
so.
Dogpile carefully. Okay. 8:15, kind of a neat story here. Rural teen, North Carolina, has beaten the odds. I mean, seriously. Abandoned by her parents over the summer while she was attending an academic camp, Dawn Loggins has gone from being homeless in high school to attending Harvard this fall. Along the way, she eventually moved in with a friend's mother, worked at her high school in the morning as a janitor starting at 6, still managed to keep up her grades, never getting below an A-. Even before her mom and stepdad took off for Tennessee without her, she endured what sounded like a pretty shaky parenting and poverty, having to study by candlelight, wearing an overcoat on nights when the power had been turned off in the family's home, dealing with the embarrassment of wearing the same dress to school several days in a row, moving from house to house. At one point, as a sophomore, things got so bad at home that her family's personal belongings and hers as well were auctioned off.
Good grief.
Yep. She graduates from Burns High School in Lawndale, North Carolina, today, and she will be going to Harvard in the fall.
So, good for her.
Yeah.
About that.
I mean, that's kind of a neat story.
Wow.
Yeah. All right, so here we go. It's 8:16. Time to find out what's going on in the city of Bryan. And Alan Brugman's here this morning. How are you today?
I'm doing fantastic.
Great. What you got for us?
All right, we've got some free disaster preparedness classes that are being offered.
They don't do the disaster, they just prepare you.
Correct.
Okay,
yes,
good.
We are not offering free disasters.
That's a good thing.
We do not participate in that.
Okay.
Okay, so this is getting ready for anything from tornadoes to hazardous material spills, flooding, which I know sounds weird to mention flooding in the summer.
Could happen.
Here, but yeah. You never know.
Yep.
Hurricane season, I know that those don't directly affect us, but we do get some weather sometime when those happen, and also an influx of folks and things like that. So good to be prepared. So if you go to the website to register, I went through this yesterday, so I know exactly what it looks like. We've got one class right now that's on there for registration, and it's for this afternoon from 2 to 5.
Okay.
I'm assuming you can still register for that and get in there. The classes are being held at the CEOC right there in downtown Bryan, the old Woolsworth building.
Mm-hmm.
They are adding extra classes through the month of September, which happens to be National Preparedness Month.
Okay.
So stay tuned to that registration page, and we'll add those dates as they schedule them and as they get the teachers in place and things like that. The website to get there, we don't have a direct link. You can go to bryantx.gov, hover over the department's link, and then look for emergency preparedness. Or if you want a link itself, just go to the press releases section right there at bryantx.gov, look for this disaster preparedness press release, and I've got it linked on there, so you can look for it that way. We're putting these on. The city is putting it on with our emergency management department is teaming up with the Brazos Valley Council of Governments and, of course, the Department of Homeland Security. So, cool thing. You'll get a lot of free handouts, and you'll let your family be prepared if a disaster situation should arise here locally. Something that's coming up next week. Yesterday, the Wednesday event at the Claremont's Library was the Animal Day.
Mm-hmm, right. Remember that?
We'll be talking about that.
We did.
They had the little horses and the big dogs and all sorts of strange stuff.
Ah.
This coming Wednesday, once again, completely free, 10 a.m. to noon. This is the Juneteenth Carnival and the Children's Art Festival. So they're obviously about a week ahead of Juneteenth, but they figured they'd do it before instead of after. So this one is going to have moonwalks, not folks moonwalking, but you know, the inflatable.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, the bouncy thing.
Correct.
Okay.
Moonwalks, carnival games. They'll have hands-on art booths that kids can participate in. It's all sponsored by the Brazos Valley African American Museum and the Children's Museum. St. Michael's Episcopal School will also have a booth there. There's free ice cream from Schwann's. H-E Buddy will be there. I always thought it was H-E-B Buddy.
Yeah, but it's not. It's H-E Buddy.
H-E Buddy.
That's his name. Okay.
Yeah, which makes sense.
Yeah, makes sense.
Anyway, Atmos Energy is generously sponsoring some of those inflatables and the helium balloons that will be passed out as well. Of course, a lot of information there as well for adults, kids, anybody who wants to learn about Juneteenth festivities and things of that sort. So that's next Wednesday, a week from yesterday, 10 to noon, free right there at the front lawn of the Mounts Public Library in downtown Bryan. And speaking of Juneteenth festivities, we are coming up, it's not this weekend, but next weekend, is the Blues Fest that's coming to downtown Bryan right there at the Palace Theater. And it all kicks off on Friday with the first night of events there at the Palace Theater. All this is completely free. So Friday starts at 7, and that's when you'll have Sonny Nash, William Walker, Damu Ali, Donald Ray Johnson, and the Nat Dove closes it out. At 9:30 Saturday morning is the big Juneteenth parade, and that's going to start at Carver Elementary School and end at Sadie Thomas Park. And at the end, that's where they'll have activities, contests, things for the kiddos, dance groups, things like that. At 2 o'clock that afternoon, at the Brazos Valley African American Museum, they're going to have a meet and greet with all these musicians who are participating. I think that their goal for that is all these folks that are participating in this event are from Bryan and went to Bryan schools. And so it's kind of a question and answer session to learn more about them, learn more about the history of blues music in the city of Bryan, and to just kind of get to know these folks a little bit better before you watch them perform. So that's at 2 o'clock. All of this is completely free. Saturday at 6 p.m., that's when it starts again. And this is the big musical evening. Saturday's the day to go to if you want to watch all of this stuff. There's a big, long list of musicians. The same ones that performed Friday will also come back Saturday evening as well right there at the Palace.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll go until Nat Dove is supposed to hit the stage about 10:15. So from about 6 is when they have the kind of dedication ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
Lasts until about 11 o'clock at night. So
great.
That's the plans in downtown Bryan next weekend for the Bryan, Texas Blues Festival.
All right. We'll look forward to that. Thank you, man. I appreciate
it.
Alan Brugman here from the city of Bryan on Thursdays on News Talk 1620.